Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 93. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Pamela Muhammad from Monroe, Louisiana. Pamela is an author and entrepreneur who has SMA Type 2. She's written two nonfiction books, and we will have links to those in the description. So I'm really excited to have her on today. Pamela, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Absolutely. If anyone out there is a member of the SMA News Today forums, which I highly recommend you to join, Pamela is quite active there. So it's good to put a face to the name, and I'm really excited for this conversation. So before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast was brought to you by Genentech, the makers of an FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay. Well, Pamela, to get started, why don't you just tell listeners a little bit about yourself? I know I gave you the brief intro there, but anything you want to say about your life now or growing up with SMA?
Okay. Thank you. I have SMA too, which leaves me, you know, totally dependent on family members or my caregivers. But as of now, I finally moved into my home about 3 years ago and have 24/7 care. So that is a great milestone in my life. And I'm just grateful to be able to, you know, have the independence that I always wanted. As a child, growing up, of course, there's difficulties, you know, growing up and then becoming a teenager. And of course, with those of us that have SMA, you know, we still have the, you know, and some people have misconceptions about people with SMA, you know, as a, especially from going from childhood to, to teenagers and then on to adulthood. We still have the same desires of, you know, going to activities or dances and dating and all that. But I found as I was growing up, there are a lot of people, you know, really didn't quite get or understand that, yes, people with SMA or different disabilities have the same desire as everyone else. So instead of, you know, getting a bit deterred how people sometimes treat those of us with different disabilities, I try to educate those and to teach them that, you know, treat everyone accordingly to how you want to be treated, regardless of, as I often say, disability, creed, class, religion, etc. And then, you know, we all can, it will make the world a lot better and pleasant for all of us. So that's my take on that.
That's a great mentality. I really love that. And it, you mentioned too, I will talk about your independence in a little bit, but as far as growing up and your family life, what was kind of your childhood like and what were some of your main interests growing up?
Oh, as my childhood, I enjoy singing a lot. I remember my mother, you know, I'm going to get my age almost away, but she used to buy me these, I used to listen to the radio and a lot, she used to buy me these records. And overall, I had a good childhood, you know, overall. My mother, like I said, I loved singing and a lot, I loved to sing. So I always wanted to be a singer and Whitney Houston is my favorite singer. So I often, you know, as I was when I had homeschooling first, and then I went to a special, what they call a special school for those of us that had disability, and then I graduated from high school here. And overall, childhood was good. You know, I took my SMA the best I could, and you know, did the things that I could do, And the things that I couldn't do, you know, I just adapted to, you know, doing the things and tried to focus more on what I could do. So therefore, you know, I would have the quality of life and, you know, be happy in my own skin. So that's how my childhood was, making the best of what I had. And, you know, thank God I had a mother that helped me and, you know, to take care of me and that type of thing.
That's great. That's great. And it's funny what you said about records there, showing your age. Hey, you know, vinyl albums are making a comeback now. So, you know, a few years down the road, people can be saying, oh, this is this record, and they could be from this generation. So, you know, it's an interesting, like, kind of wave there. But that's great. And yeah, no, I like what you said there about your mother really instilled in you that desire for independence. And would you say that was something that was pretty, like, early on? You talked about how independence was something you always wanted. Was it something you were looking into as far as early as, like, teenage years and young adult life? Or when did you start really grasping with the concept of wanting independence?
Okay, well, let's go back a bit.
Sure.
Of course, my mother, you know, taking care of me, of course, she was apprehensive about me wanted to be on my own, you know, and I can understand it coming from a mother's perspective, especially since, you know, even though, as you know, growing up, we are adults, but still have to be taken care of as a child because of the physical limitation that we have. So she had apprehensions about that and nerves and things, but as I, you know, often told her that even when I was staying with her, I was still taking care of my own business to an adult, like, I mean, 15, things like that, making calls, you know, to doctors and all that type of thing. So I said, well, if, you know, you see me now doing what I do, I'm under your care or your you know, your home, your roof or whatever. So I said, basically, if I'm doing this now, and you see the independence that I have. So when I get out, I will do it even more. So trust in me, what I'm doing, and support me. So eventually, like I said, as time went on, you know, I knew that I wanted to be on my own. So I didn't let that, it took me a while because everything takes time. Everything takes consistency or belief. So eventually, you know, I saved up, you know, for what I had to for the house situation. And then as I got older, of course, I had to have more care because of, you know, parents getting older and not being able to do as much for their child, you know, with a physical disability. And so I started, you know, having the services of caregivers coming in. So, of course, that made it a bit more doable and independence, too, because I was able to further go to college and, you know, so that helped too. So therefore, basically she was apprehensive, or they were, my parents, but as they saw the drive in me, and now she can say today, as she told me not to, a few months ago, that I'm proud of you, you know, or what you've done. So I would say to all of those of us that have, whether you have SMA, cerebral palsy, or whatever your challenge in life is, that we have to believe first, and I would say, have faith in God, in my humble, you know, position for those, and my humble opinion, you know, for those, you know, believe in the higher power. So that is where my faith comes from, and then in myself to prove to those, yes, it may be a bit different, the way that I may have to do things. Nevertheless, it still can be done. And so that's what we all have to really just believe in ourselves and still fight for the life that we deserve, regardless of our SMA or whatever else that we have been born with. Or, you know, sometimes people may have an accident and change their lives. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, that's great. And well, and I know, I think that's a common experience for a lot of us in this community is, you know, mm-hmm. you're wanting that independence, and you take those first steps of having caregivers at home, and then gradually move toward, you know, what you've done in getting your own place, moving out, having 24/7 care. And for a lot of people, I think too, it's a matter of like, okay, how do I get there? So what I would say, that's my next question there is like, you know, going from having caregivers coming to your home when you were living with your parents to fully moving out, what were the big steps you took in order to get to that place?
Okay, thank you for asking. I would love to tell. At first, you had to talk with my agency, caseworker, I'm sorry. My caseworker, and you know, and you know, we have a like a what they call quality to see how everything doing, to see if the caregivers are taking care of you adequately as they supposed to. And basically, all I did was ask them, you know, how do I go from being with my mother, because I definitely was my goal to move on my own, have more independence, and live my life the way I want to live. So therefore, I talked to the caseworker, and she put, she wrote the request for me to have more hours as I was living with my mother. So they gave me a bit more with my mother, because I, you know, had to share that my mother was getting older. So therefore, I knew I needed more help. So after that first initial of getting a bit more hours, and then I looked into the housing situation, you know, and thank God to God where you can get lower income housing or Section 8. And so I applied for that, and I was on a waiting list a year or so, but I wasn't quite ready to move yet anyway, because I had to get furniture, and I also talked to my case worker with that. And so therefore she showed me told me how to get some different agencies to, so therefore I can get the things I need, like the furniture before I moved in the home, that type of thing, to set up everything. Basically, so what you have to do, basically go Medicaid, if I'm not mistaken, the one that paid for all of the services of caregivers, et cetera. So you talk to your caseworker and you tell her what your desires and that type of thing. So that's how I became, living on my own with the help of caregivers.
That's great. That's great. No, I appreciate you sharing that, because again, I think for a lot of people, they don't really know where to get started and what the best resources are, but I know there are options out there. It's still a lot of loopholes, and it is different depending on where you live. Even in the United States, it's different in each state, but I agree though. I think that's talking to caseworkers really helps in those scenarios. And I'm really glad that it's worked out for you, and best of luck, continuing to find people and having that constant care. That's great. But
thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes. So that's it. So you just first, also you have to talk. I'm sorry, I left that part out. But talk to your doctor. So therefore, he can, write off that you. So he can, give permission, and then therefore Medicaid, will take that in consideration, that you need care. So you have to talk also to your doctor first also.
That's great. Well, let's take a brief break here to listen to another word from our sponsor. And when we get back, I want to talk more about your career and what you're doing now. So, but if everyone could please listen to another brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A treatment has been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this treatment option a reality. To learn more about this treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay, so we mentioned in the intro that you're both an author and an entrepreneur, and you've written a couple books. Can you talk about that? Let's start with the books and your writing career. How did that get started, and when did you publish your first?
Okay, sure. Thank you. My first book, actually, and sometimes I get the nonfiction and the fiction of misstep. So hopefully I didn't make a mistake on that. But my books are, when I was growing up, I love, as I said, singing. So I love lyrics. I love that type of thing. I love words, et cetera. So I always love to write poetry. And so they are basically, I wrote a book, my first book, which was released in 2019. It's a book of poetry of inspiration. And it's called Pamela, Poetry of the Heart. That's my first one. So those are just, like I said, books of love, inspiration, and things that, you know, of being grateful. So I released that, and it was very excited to release my first book. The second book is called Loving the Skin that I'm In. And so it's the second book. And basically, that book is to, I wrote, like, the things that I've experienced of people having misconceptions about people in a wheelchair. So it basically are the highlights, I would say, the basics of things that I've experienced. For instance, when someone talks to a person with, in my experience, to me, they don't talk to me. And usually if I have my caregiver or PCA with me, they would speak to her instead of me. And so, you know, everyone that's in the wheelchair is not, you know, mentally challenged. You know, some are very intelligent. So I have to always say, excuse me, ma'am, sir, you can direct that question to me because I'm quite capable of answering it for myself.
So it's kind of like a memoir and also, you know, directed toward addressing stereotypes about disabled individuals and wheelchair users.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I just wanted to basically a book to educate those, to make it a little more aware of, you know, the people with SMA or people with disability have lives too, and some of the a lot of misconceptions are just that, you know. So I just want to clear that up and hopefully, you know, make it a bit more, less, should I say, prejudice or acceptance by writing a book to educate, you know, some people on how to interact with people with a disability. We're all individuals, so don't just put everyone in just the same category. So that's my inspiration behind that second book.
Absolutely, that's great. And are you still writing, or is that, I know we'll talk about the business in a minute, but is writing still a part of your regular life now?
I love writing. I really do. So I'm going to, hopefully I'm paying my next book. I don't quite know. It may be a second book, a volume two of my poetry, or it may be a continuation of, about SMA and to educate those. So not yet, but right now, I love writing, but I have put a hold on that because I'm in the midst of launching my fashion accessory business. And I'm so excited because as of April the 15th, I was looking for a job, and one of my counselors, she, you know, mentioned that they were having an entrepreneur program for those of us that wanted to launch our business. And so I applied and they picked me. So I was 10 of the 10 people. It's called the National Disability Center Entrepreneurship. So we are having November the 19th at 12:30 Eastern. We're having the Fish Fest where it's now 7 of us. We are going to pitch for our business, and we will begin it between us all, between the individual, $75,000 toward our businesses. So I'm very excited about that. It's you know, I have the link and everything that whoever, you know, someone who wants to attend, they can, you know, Zoom and that type of thing. Virtually, of course, it would be. So I'm excited about that. I have, like I said, I was a fashions, love to dress ever since I've been a small child and until my adulthood. So I love fashions and accessories and things like that. And so I'm very excited to be part of one of the contestants that is in the run for the business of pitching, getting my business sponsored by big names. So I'm excited.
That's fantastic. I wish you the best with that event. And yeah, that's awesome. And it's a fashion accessory business. Is there a specific niche to it, or like what? How did the idea for that come about?
You kind of broke up at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Basically,
I was asking like how like is there a specific niche to the to your business like with fashion accessories, or like how did that idea come about?
Oh, okay. Because I, like I said, I love fashion and right. I love accessories because me, you know, a blouse is just a blouse until you coordinate the right accessory with that blouse, it can and it becomes a whole garment, you know, just with a simple pair of earrings or to bring it out. So that's, you know, I always love to, as I say, fashion, but fashion. But when I unique accessories that I bought over the years, that's what people notice the most when I wear, you know, my jewelry and things like this. I said, why not have, you know, a business geared towards something I love and fashion for fashion. I have a passion for fashion, so that's my my niche right there. My yes.
And had you, prior to this, had you tried launching a business before, or are you new to the world of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I always have, as I went to college for business technology. Okay. So I always have been, yes, I always have been interested in business and that type of thing. I, when I was younger, I instructed jewelry making. We made jewelry, you know, I wasn't able to physically do it, but I was able, by God's grace, to instruct someone how to, my caregivers how to design jewelry. So I started off with that, and then I sold Avon for 3 years, and then I sold some more jewelry from a company, and then I always, on the side, used to sell my own. So therefore, I said, why not, you know, have my own jewelry line? So therefore, I can, you know, pursue this thing. So definitely, I do that. And also, I'm an ambassador for another jewelry company. So I'm doing that, and I'm doing, you know, modeling it at that jewelry company too. So yes, I love it. I stay busy. That's the thing. We have to stay busy and do things that we like, and that gives us a more abundance of life and livelihood.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And no, that's really cool. That's what I was going to ask you about, like college and what you did there. So, so yeah, so no, so you always had the business interest, and then we're doing kind of writing on the side. What were kind of some of the other jobs you did in between all that? What were some of your early work experiences?
You say working experiences?
Yeah, like what were some of the other jobs you had in between before you launched this business and we're doing all that? Okay. Like what were some of the jobs you did either after college or in your early adult years?
Oh, I always, as I said, with the, I tried to get different jobs, Kevin, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, people with disabilities, sometimes they don't, I don't know, for whatever reason, don't think that we can work or take us seriously. So yeah. Through the rehabilitation services, I've tried for different jobs and that type of thing. But unfortunately, they, you know, said that they were so slow with it. So I said, why not, you know, try to you know, have some more income and start my own business. So those are my experiences. Basically, all my life I've been selling things from a little child of selling different stuff and making my own way.
Hey, I mean, that's great. I think a lot for there are a lot of, it's the story of a lot of people in this community. I mean, countless stories on this podcast I've heard of people just making their own way because unfortunately we do live in a very ableist system that still discriminates against disabled individuals who want to work and could contribute a lot. So a lot of times we make our own way and we ended up, you know, creating things that are better than what's already out there. So that's fantastic. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, switching gears, Pamela, switching gears just a little. So obviously SMA treatments have been a big deal in the past few years. With two on the available for adults. Are you on any SMA treatments or have you tried to pursue any in the past?
No, I'm not on it, but I'm definitely it's doing my research right now. I know I read earlier when they said that, you know, it's better if it's administrated or on the children. And so that's, I'm like, wow. But I know some adults also have had the treatment and some said that it has given them, you know, a bit more ability. So I never say never. So I'm just digging into it and see what the pros and cons of it. And, I may talk to my doctor, things of that nature. Yes. So if I may ask?
Yeah, sure.
Have you had any treatment?
Yeah, so I have been on Spinraza for 4 years now. It'll be 4 years in November. By the time this episode goes out. I started it in November 2017. And it's gone really well for me. I've not switched to Evrysdi and I don't really plan on it. For me, Spinraza has worked well. But I know a lot of people in the community who have either switched or they started Evrysdi or all kinds of stories. But for me, I get cervical injections through Spinraza and it's worked out really well for me. And, I'm fortunate to have really good medical resources and a really good care team here where I live in North Carolina. And so that's helped a lot, it's gone really well for me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But, awesome. Well, I we've covered a lot of ground here and I think this has been a great conversation, you've already given some great advice, but I was wondering, let me ask you, you're running your business and everything right now, and you're living independently, what is kind of a typical day of the week look like for you? Like whether it's a weekday and you're working on your business, walk us through kind of what a day in your world looks like.
I have to administrate my caregivers what I need, you know, and divide the workload up. So that's a job in itself.
Yeah.
Wake up. Right. I do my business. We have like class twice a week. But definitely I have to work on, you know, the homework or the assignment that they give us. So I'm always working on that. My second business with the jewelry, other jewelry line that I sell. And my spiritual, definitely I read my, you know, spirituals. Go outside, get the sunshine. But most of the time, I'm always busy, sometimes even up to the next day because I tend to work late. I don't know, for some reason, I can get more done at that time. So I have a very, very busy day. You know, sometimes, of course, I go out a bit and, you know, just get out a bit and shop or have to go to the store, things like that. So I'm pretty busy from when I get up.
No, it sounds like it. And I know that's the case for a lot of adults in this community, especially, managing caregivers and working and all these other components that come into play for sure. So, that's great.
Right.
And Pamela, just in closing, I know you've kind of already touched on this, but Do you have any advice for others in the SMA community, or just a message you want to share with anyone listening?
Yes, I would like to definitely say, I know it can be very challenging, of course, having, especially for those that have to have 24 care, having people to do constantly for you sometimes, if, as you know, Kevin, having to change caregivers, PCA sometimes, unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So that does take, mental stability. So you have to definitely strive to, keep positive, strive to, if you can, things that you enjoy doing, try to do those things, be honest with, the people that are coming to take care of you. And from the start, tell them what your needs are and what you expect. So therefore, it won't be any problems down the line. So that's one thing that we have to definitely be respectful, but we deserve our respect too. So definitely don't let anyone, belittle you just because you need some assistance, because that's what they're there for.
That's great. I think that's fantastic advice for anyone out there. So, well, Pamela, thank you so much for joining. Coming on today. This has been great. And where can people find you? We'll also put links in the description, but do you have any social media pages or websites where people can see what you're doing?
Thank you so much, Kim. It's been a pleasure. I'm on Facebook, Pamela K, with the initial Muhammad. I'm on Instagram, Pamela Muhammad, and Twitter, Pamela Muhammad, Pamela K. Muhammad. And then my website, I'm in the midst of getting that launched. So I would just hopefully at a later date, I'll be able to give you that. But right now we're trying to get that ready for the business. But thank you so much. As I said, I've enjoyed it. And you have a great day.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And for our listeners out you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com for the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.